It's harrowing, even the journey up there, because as you go from the south, you are just seeing tens of thousands of people sleeping rough in tents on the beach, in tents on the streets. This is their last place that to be in Rafah. And then as you go further, just the devastation, utter devastation. Gaza City, huge swathes of it reduced to rubble. People on the street doing that universal symbol of putting their hand to their mouth, showing their desperate hunger, and you can see that in their eyes as well. And then for those who have made it to the hospital, to the nutrition center there, a very important mission led by OCHA, World Health Organization, UNICEF, getting emergency supplies there and trying to work out what else can be done to ensure that we don't lose more children to malnutrition and dehydration.
We've been hearing some really frightening warnings about hunger and famine, particularly in the north. Did you see that for yourself?
Yes, sadly, saw it and heard it. Those children who are paper thin, really paper thin, children who I don't know if they will make it another day or two, despite being in a hospital. And we must be very, very fearful those who, for insecurity or other reasons, can't get to a hospital. And mothers and carers, mothers and grandmothers in tears over their children, because they know they've done everything they possibly can to protect their children, first from the bombardments and now from this imminent famine. But I think they realize that the protection of their children is in the hands of others, is in the hands of others making decisions on things in Gaza.
You got into Kamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia in the north of Gaza. How easy was it to actually get in?
Look, I think it's an important point because a lot is made over the complexity and so on, but this is what the United Nations does. Syria, Afghanistan, Somalia works in difficult places. So it's not easy, but you've got brilliant coordination, great security officers, and everyone there knowing the criticality of getting there and getting that support to people. There's a lot of desperation on the way, there is no doubt. There's only one way to fix that desperation, to ensure that people have a regular supply of aid. So when they see an aid truck of flour, it's not the first time they've seen food for a week, and they don't fear it's the last time they'll see it for several weeks.
What did you get in to the hospital? Presumably medicines and fuel to keep the generators running, but also other supplies?
Yeah, this was nutritional supplies, a real focus on those most severely malnourished children, those supplies, and also to talk to the hospital to work out ways to further boost their capacity. It can sound strange talking about boosting capacity, but malnutrition was never an issue in Gaza. It just wasn't. And now in the north, one in three of children up to the age of two suffering acute malnutrition. That's a terrifying number. So there's a capacity issue there, which is a reason why you need to flood, as the Secretary General says, flood the Gaza Strip with life-saving aid, which can be done because there are hundreds of trucks across the border, and make sure those volunteers, the medical staff, the pediatricians have all the skills and supplies that they possibly need.
You talked about hundreds of trucks over the border in Egypt, and you're talking to us from Rafah now in the very south of Gaza. You had to make your way through the north, which, as we understand, is not easy at all. How many trucks did you get through to the north?
So we went to Kamal Adwan. There was another mission, UNICEF, UNFPA, may well have been WHO. I don't know the ins and outs. And they took trucks, but I don't know the numbers. I'm sorry.
There was a development today in the Security Council in New York. Another effort at a ceasefire has been voted down. I mean, you're there at the sharp end of it all, James Elder from the UN Children's Fund. For children, this means what?
For children and their families, there's going to be some very sad families who hear this news. People are aware of these things. There was a moment of hope. Rafah here is like Gaza's last hope. Rafah is a city normally of 250, 300,000 people, I think. It's now got 1.2, 1.3 million, 600,000 children. This was such an expectation in the air. Yesterday, when I was at that hospital in the north, Kamal Adwan, I can't tell you how many mothers, in English and Arabic, when I spoke to them, would just repeat time and again, ceasefire, ceasefire. Everyone is saying it, from those on the ground to the Secretary General. So it's another massive lost opportunity. Does it mean more bombardments? Probably. Does it mean still even greater challenges for getting that aid that is so urgently needed? Yes. It's another brutal blow for people here who who can't take many more hits.